Our text for tonight, if you have your Bible with you, it's found in Romans chapter 8, verses 18 to 25. Chapter 8 of Romans, beginning verse 18 to 25. Let me read it to you, and you can follow it. Before I read it, I'll open in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for our time together now in our communion with thee, under thy instruction, feeding us, Lord, our souls, with the reminders that our hope is in thee, and we live and move, and our being is in you. And thank you for the constant ministry upon thy Holy Spirit, reminding us of this truth, which tells us this is the way to walk. Walk ye in them. Grant us teachability at this time, O Lord, of our meditation of your word. Forgive us of our many, and cleanse us of our many sins, even the things that were amiss, or the things that came into our thoughts, word, or indeed, for we cannot hide from thee. Please cleanse us, Lord, with thy precious blood, and grant us peace, and bring back again the joy of the Lord in our salvation through him alone.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
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 Now, let's read this portion in Romans. We know that we have learned this in the past, more than 1 year ago when we study the book of Romans, which we have finished for long study together. And I just want to remember this portion in Romans 8 when we are studying it with Pastor Mark. But it is good to continually remind ourselves and read this portion because of the various trials and tribulations and even the affliction that we go through, particularly in this time of pandemic. Millions of people around the world, including ourselves, are affected, and people are locked down and cannot go out. Still, some people are affected, and all of us are affected, but we must not allow ourselves to be continually be affected in a negative way, that despite our limitations in coming for many months, 4 months, not to be seeing each other, but even only through Zoom. But God has great purposes for all these limitations that God allowed to happen through this pandemic. And we must encourage ourselves beyond any doubt that God has a great purpose for allowing this deadly virus. That God is in control, that in times of these dangers and afflictions and trials that we face as an individual and as a family, God has an answer for all of us to encourage ourselves in the Lord. So let's read Romans 8, beginning from verse 18 to 25. Where they are worthy to refresh our minds and our hopes in this danger that we are facing in. So let's continue to read with encouragement. Romans 8, verse 18, beginning verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered. from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we are were saved in this hope, but hope that as that is sin is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? Verse 25, but if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. Now, I choose this particularly because we are a lot, millions of people around the world are confused what to expect, what they are longing for, not only for being to overcome these difficulties, the danger that's still up and down around us, not only throughout our own land, but around the world. And including Christians, they are looking for some ways in which their hope will always be in the forefront of their minds, but struggling how to cope with the uncertainty and the fatal virus that we are facing in. And the world cannot even now, although they are struggling to find the right vaccine, but even granted that within the next 6 months the vaccine will be there, that's only a temporary cure. But the cure that our Lord, that our God through our Lord Jesus Christ gives, is something eternal, and we must continue to refresh our memories, our hope in this section, in which that we have read, so that in our remembrance of our study more than a year ago, particularly in the section of Romans 8, we have learned 1-8, I should say chapter 1-8, and now we will be focusing on chapter 8, verses 18-25. We have learned about the past aspect of salvation, by which we stand justified before God. In Romans 8, chapter 1, verse 18 to chapter 4, verse 25. We have learned about salvation's present reality in our lives, the ongoing process of sanctification, which is recorded for us in chapter 5 of Romans, verse 1 up to chapter 8, verse 17, in which that is the last section that we are referred to as our introduction. In chapter 8, verse 17, it speaks about our being glorified. Our being glorified, which introduces us to this final section of chapter 8 of Romans, verses 18 to 25. Reading back verse 17 of chapter 8, and the Spirit, back to 16, verse 16, the Spirit Himself bear witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we may also be glorified together. So this verse, that portion, the last portion, speaks of glorification, including now our verses that we are going to take in and study together. It speaks of our glorification, the aspect of salvation which is still in the future. But it's good to hope We cannot hope what we see, but we hope with earnestness what we do not see, but it is something sure to happen, because God cannot break His promise. So, starting from verse 15, let me read it again to you. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the suffering, with the glory, I should say, which we shall rebuild, which shall be rebuilt in us. So, we have looked at this in the past study more than a year ago, at the end of the previous section, which I've read in verse 17. We noted the reality of suffering Christians endure in this present life. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 4 to 7, reminds us that the Apostle Paul wrote these words of comfort to Christians who were at that very time enduring persecution. Such persecution continued. And in about the year AD 96, the aging Apostle John is still feeling the effect of this persecution that as he endures life in a sort of Roman concentration camp on the Isle of Patmos. In the book of Revelation, he wrote, I, John, who also am your brother and companion in tribulation, and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos, for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ that was written for us in Revelation, Revelation 1, chapter 1, verse 9. What is John's comfort amidst his suffering? Well, it is the patience of Jesus Christ by which I believe he means the patience we can gain from looking forward in Jesus Christ's return in the future. Just as the Apostle Paul commended the Thessalonians for their patience in 2 Thessalonians verse 4, and then reminded them that they would find rest with us when the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven, verse 7. So also John found in his hope in patiently awaiting Christ's return. There is only one real answer amidst tribulation, whether in the day of the Thessalonians or in the day of John on Patmos or in the rest of the church history, including our own day. The only adequate answer to tribulation is our hope in the coming of Christ in glory. The hope, which is our hope in the coming of Christ in glory. John actually saw something of Christ in glory right there in Patmos. But in our reading tonight in Romans 8, 18 to 25, Paul will tell us that all Christians are to live in expectation of one day seeing the Lord just as John saw Him. If we today are living as we should live as Christians, we do not need to seek tribulation. We will surely suffer some sort of persecution as we find ourselves running counter to the whole 20th century mentality, or we are now in the 21st century actually. Yet no matter how great the sufferings are, particularly this present affliction that God allowed to spread around the world, this pandemic, whether it be the young person in their home or in his home, whether it be another person who has gone back, particularly to his home in El Salvador, and is probably facing persecution right now, or any other individual that we know, or met, thousands of people are suffering persecution, particularly for those who have been called to minister to other countries. Whether it involves our brothers and sisters in countries with open and obvious persecution of Christians, or whether it be each one of us, with our own friends, with our own families, we have persecution, we have some kind of affliction, one way or the other, because persecution abounds, or affliction abounds, with God's allows for some great purpose for His glory and for our benefit. Whatever our suffering might be, or affliction might be, we can find comfort in these words, which I have already read. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us. Paul invites us to open the door and walk through, as in just a few brief verses, he gives us simple a glimpse of our Lord's return and of the glorious future aspects of our salvation. Remember, Paul is still trying to give the meaning by exegeting the theme of verses of chapter 1 in the same book, verses 16 to 17, which he concluded by saying, "The just shall live by faith." And now, in this section, which I just read a while ago, he shows us that we can live by faith up to the gates of glory. We have also noted, which I'm going to note in reference to that same passage, that we need never be ashamed of the gospel as a belief principle in chapter 1, verse 16. Nor need we ever be ashamed for day-to-day practice of our faith. For hope maketh not ashamed, in chapter 5, verse 5. We should never be ashamed of our hope in Christ, for it will never disappoint us. In these verses on glorification, on this particular section I just read a while ago, Paul will reassure us once more, as he did in among the Christians in Rome. Paul will reassure us once more that our hope for future salvation will never disappoint us or make us ashamed. He will end in this section with three words of encouragement, which says, "For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? For we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it." That is in verse 24 to 25 of chapter 8. Our hope in Christ is an unbroken line of promises. From the time we believe in Him, and you know the beginning of your, or perhaps the, if not the exact date of yours, of our being converted, and we are therefore freed from guilt, down through our experiences as Christians in this present life, as we see the wonders of God's sanctifying work through the indwelling Holy Spirit, then stretching on to the fulfillment of that hope in the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, as Paul will now describe it. When Paul speaks of the glory which shall be revealed in us, in verse 18, the Greek is actually translated in reference to us. it is not just a glory that will be revealed to us, but a glory that will be revealed surrounding us in the context of us. In verses 19 to 23, he will tell us what is this glory is, why the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with it. Well, we will go to the next verse, in verse 19. For the earnest expectation of the creature waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. Well, the word creation is a more contemporary word for creature. It just look like synonymous, isn't it? Creation, but creation is an act of God. We are the creature. And I will explained to us as such from Irhon. Earnest in this verse would be better translated constant. We should constantly be looking forward to the future glory. And that is hope that we never see, but still hoping, which is good motivation for us, our glorification. Each Christian, true believer of Christ, we are awaiting for our glorification. Jesus told us we should be always eagerly expecting his return, according to the recorded statement in Luke chapter 12, I should say, verse 35 to 37. The early church certainly waited for the Lord's return. They expected him to return in their own generation. Some of the more liberal Bible scholars of our day would say that because he didn't return in their own generation, they were wrong. Not at all. Each generation is to wait. It is to be our constant expectation with this great hope that every believer expect about the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. The constant expectation of creation awaits the manifestation of the sons of God. What is this manifestation of the sons of God? Well, that all creation looks forward to. It is the physical resurrection of the believers to body, as Paul will state specifically in verse 23. Of course, we all long for the day when we will receive our resurrected bodies. And this is amazing in our hope of looking forward to this. This should be our constant hope and expectation. Our resurrected bodies will be shown to us and we will experience it. But let us wait for it in joyful expectation. But Paul says that the whole creation longs for our resurrection. And why do all do so? Well, we'll come to verse 20 to 23 now, which I'm going to read. For the creature was made subject to vanity or to futility, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our body. That's amazing to look forward to, isn't it? As Christians, we have the first fruits of the Spirit. If one apple appears on a tree, I know that it will soon yield a full harvest of apples. The day that I now have new life through the indwelling Holy Spirit is my guarantee that one day I will have the total redemption of my body. The fact that the Holy Spirit indwells us is the first installment of that reality. That's why the presence of the Holy Spirit with our triune God, the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, is reassuring us that the redemption of our body or the granting of our new heavenly body will happen exactly as it has promised. But of course, we need to wait on that. The Holy Spirit is the earnest or guarantee of the future complete redemption of our body. Yet, even though as Christians, we now have the first fruits of the Spirit. In verse 23a, we still groan. 23b, waiting for the redemption of our body. And the whole creation groans right along with us in verse 22. What is this groaning all about? Well, it is the same groanings we heard from Jesus as he stood before the tomb of his friend Lazarus in John chapter 11, verse 33 to 38. Jesus wept at Lazarus' tomb. 11:35 of John says, but I think he was also angry against all the suffering and abnormalities that come upon the world because of sin. Angry not just against the devil, but against all the results of sin. And even we ourselves, though we have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan just as our Lord did, as we see all the suffering around us and within us in our present day. Not only at that time, but in our present day. So, the creation groans, and we ourselves groan, waiting for something. We are waiting for the redemption of our body. And the redemption of our body is, in the words of verse 19, the manifestations of the sons of God. If you look at that verse quickly, the revealing of the sons of God. Certainly we are to show forth Jesus Christ in this present life. But on the resurrection day, in the moment when our bodies are changed and become like Christ's glorious body, in the moment when we are changed in the twinkling of an eye, says 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52, there will be a manifestation of the sons of God far beyond anything we could imagine in this present life. And it won't be just a human, it won't just be just we humans who are raised to glory. All creation as well will at that moment be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Verse 21 continue to remind us. Isn't this present life a life of suffering and groaning, troubles, sorrows, persecution, sick children, people killing each other, people maligning each other, or destroying each other. A great portion of the world today are slaves to other men. A great portion of the world today are displaced from their homes. Are we so foolish or hardened or hard-hearted as to say that this is not a world suffering? And yet, according to Paul, it all points forward specifically to the future redemption of our body and the subsequent restoration of all creations at our Lord Jesus Christ's return. I'll stop from there because of time limitation. And even our groaning within ourselves, waiting for the adoption to wit the redemption of our body, is our continuous expectation. That includes our hope. Well, may we be encouraged that although we suffer affliction or in the word tribulations, we have a hope that each one of us should continually to engage ourselves, remind ourselves with that hope.
Amen.
We will not just die, some of us, many of us perhaps, per se, but we have that hope. That hope should be our constant thinking, constant rejoicing, because we will not remain sick in this world, but we'll be glorified in our body. Praise the Lord for that event as we await our Lord Jesus Christ's return. Amen.